48 years earlier, when we first arrived in Jerusalem, we had stood in this same spot. Then young Israel Meir had gazed at the stones of the wall without understanding what he was seeing. This time he was praying just 2 hours before his anticipated election to the highest rabbinical post in Israel. My younger brother, who had risen from the piles of ashes in the death camps, was chosen that day to serve as the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 180, Memory and Eternity. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. What is memory? In English, we tend to utilize the term when referring to the preservation of a moment or information in one's mind. Memory refers to an internal state. But as we've noted in Bible 365, throughout the Torah, the Hebrew for memory, zikaron, seems to describe memory made manifest in action. And this point is similarly made by Yeshivat Haratzion's Rabbi Amnon Bazak, who wrote that, quote, "It seems that there is more to remembrance than simply the opposite of forgetting. Zikaron implies that there is special attention paid to the object of remembrance. Torah says of God that he remembered Noah, as well as Avraham and Rachel. Surely this cannot mean that until that moment God had forgotten them, as it were. Rather, the Torah is teaching us that from that moment onwards, special providence and close guidance, hashkacha, was provided for those individuals. The meaning of remembrance is special attention." End quote. Zikaron is special attention paid that is motivated by memory, or if you will, memory made manifest in dedicated activity. We bear this in mind as over the next several episodes, in a week on which Yom HaShoah is marked, we will ponder how memory pertaining to Jerusalem and the Holy Land sustained Jews during the Holocaust and after, reflecting how the Jewish link in generations binds us to each other and to the sacred city. Today, as part of our several episodes focusing on the memory of Jerusalem in the 1940s, we focus on a young boy named Israel Meir Lau, youngest son of the rabbi of the Jewish community of Pietrzykow in Poland. His older brother Naftali had promised their father that he, Naftali, would care for the young boy, not only physically, but spiritually. When at one point they were about to be separated at Buchenwald, Naftali sought to give his little brother some memory that would preserve his Jewishness. The memoir, later written by Naftali's younger brother, tells us what occurred. Quote, "Despite the presence of the officers, Naftali did not give up on our goodbye. Searching for a safer meeting place, he went to the rear of the block where there were no SS guards. With the last remnants of his strength, he called my name. He spoke to me for just a minute, but every word that came from his mouth remained engraved in my mind as if it were his last. Luluk, he said, they're taking me. I hope, but I can't be sure, that we will see each other again sometime. There is no way back from where they're taking us. You're a big boy now. You'll be 8 in a few months. I can't and won't hide the truth from you. I see no chance of being safe from this hell. It's the end of the world." And then we're told that soon after he added, "Maybe there'll be a miracle and you'll stay alive and all this will end sometime. I've come to tell you that there is a place in the world called Eretz Israel. Say, Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Repeat after me. I knew not one word of Hebrew, but I repeated these two words, Eretz Israel, without understanding their meaning." Naftali explained, "Eretz Israel is the home of the Jews." And then we're told in the memoir a bit after that he also said, "If you stay alive, you will surely meet people who will want to take you with them to other places because you're a nice kid, but you aren't going anywhere else. Remember what I say, only Eretz Israel." End quote. In the end, Naftali and his young brother found each other in Buchenwald. But this passage captures what it means to remember in Judaism, what it is to bear in mind parents that have been lost in their faith, as well as the longing of generations for the land of Israel, and to ensure that those memories remain, so that within this young boy, those memories become manifest in action, thereby ensuring his very membership in the covenant. Both Israel Meir and his older brother Naftali survived, the former, the youngest survivor in Buchenwald. He was discovered by Rabbi Herschel Schachter, a chaplain in Patton's Third Army, who entered the camp to discover a young boy hiding behind a heap of corpses. Again, the memoir, quote, "I did not move, but he knew that no child in this place could be anything but Jewish. He holstered his pistol, then grabbed me with both arms and caught me in a fatherly embrace, lifting me in his arms. In Yiddish, with a heavy American accent, he asked me, 'Wie alt bist du, mein Kind?' 'How old are you, my boy?' I saw tears dripping from his eyes. Still, through force of habit, I answered cautiously, like someone perpetually on guard. What difference does it make? At any rate, I'm older than you. He smiled at me from behind his tears and asked, why do you think that you're older than I am? Without hesitating, I replied, because you laugh and cry like a child, and I haven't laughed for a long time. I can't even cry anymore, so which one of us is older? Then he introduced himself to me, and the tone of our conversation eased. Rabbi Schachter asked who I was. Luluk from Pietrakov, I replied. And who is your family, he inquired. My father was the rabbi of Pietrakov. And you're here all alone without your father? Without my father, without my mother. But I have a brother. He collapsed and is lying sick here in the camp. Rabbi Schachter gained my full trust when he told me he had heard of my father. He had also heard of father's cousin, Rabbi Meir Shapira, the father of Lublin, who had initiated the Daf Yomi daily page program of Talmud study. I was thrilled. Then the American rabbi took me by the hand, and together we made the rounds of the barracks, announcing the liberation, end quote. Thus does a link to the past, the fact that this strange American rabbi knew his father, lead to trust in the present, memory of the past, trust in the past, binding this young Jewish boy to a Jew from the other side of the world. In the end, young Israel Meir Lau and his older brother Naftali made it to the land of Israel, and they visited the old city before it was lost in the War of Independence. A friend named Nachman took them to what was then the small alley in front of the Western Wall. Young Israel Meir, having grown up as a young boy in Buchenwald, having been taught little of the Judaism that was the faith of his fathers, had no understanding of the meaning of the city in which he found himself, or the wall before which he stood. His memoir tells us, quote, Naftali and Nachman focused on the stones, studying the weeds and the cracks. I recall several doves flying over the stone wall. After a minute, I lost interest in the wall in front of me. I did not understand what was going on and had no idea that this place had sacred significance. I gazed in wonder at the people gathered there, praying in front of the wall with all their might, as if they were standing before the Holy Ark in the synagogue. Nothing here reminded me of the synagogue I had known in Pietrakov, where the Nazis had separated my mother and me from my brother Shmuel, nor did anything here resemble the makeshift synagogue in Buchenwald, organized on our last holiday, Shavuot, in the Gestapo's quarantine hall. The stone wall in Jerusalem did not even have a Torah scroll. I did not understand why Nachman felt it was so important to bring us to this place. As we stood there staring silently, Nachman disappeared. He returned in a few minutes with several young men he had found in the old city. He glanced at his watch and announced, "It's midday. We can recite the afternoon service now." At that point, 3 months after the liberation, I did not yet know how to pray, so I did not join them. Nachman asked everyone to be quiet, then said, "I've brought you here so that he," and he pointed to Naftali, "can recite the mourner's Kaddish for his mother and father here at the Western Wall in Jerusalem." This was one prayer I already knew by heart, so Naftali and I said it together. Only afterward did Nachman explain to me where we had been and the significance of this stone wall for the Jewish people. He also told me how important it was that I never forget that Kaddish, and indeed, I never will. End quote. Thus does one moment, a Kaddish in Jerusalem, a memory in the life of a boy with little Jewish knowledge at the time, remain in his mind forever, impacting his life, inspiring his life, reminding him and reminding us through his story how Jerusalem itself reflects the bond between Jewish generations. Soon after that visit, soon after that Kaddish said for a murdered mother and father, the old city was lost to the Jewish people for almost 20 years, but it returned to the Jewish people, the Jewish people returned to it. And since that time, saying Kaddish at the wall, that little boy himself made manifest memory in action, becoming a rabbi, and ultimately chief rabbi of Israel. His brother Naftali, who had protected him, remembered that moment in his own memoir, a passage also cited by his brother, a passage that I believe highlights truly the parallel between the story of Jerusalem and Jewish memory and Jewish eternity. Naftali Lau, reflecting on the moment when the youngest survivor of Buchenwald, his baby brother, became chief rabbi at the Western Wall, wrote as follows, and we end with his words, quote, "For 50 years, I carried the responsibility passed on to me by my father before he went to his death in Treblinka. He placed in my care a weak child who was 5 years old, but looked like he was only three or even younger. For 3 years, I served as father and mother, guardian and protector to my younger brother, Israel Meir, or Lulik, as we called him. I often felt despair attacking me, flinging me helplessly to my destruction. I think it was the mission my father gave me to bring my younger brother to safety and to ensure the continuation of our family's rabbinic dynasty that kept me alive and gave me the will to continue fighting for our lives rather than succumb to the horrible fate that befell the rest of our family." End quote. Naftali Lau Lavi in his memoir describes what went through his mind on February 21, 1993 when he watched his baby brother become chief rabbi at the Western Wall. He writes further, quote, 48 years earlier, when we first arrived in Jerusalem, we had stood in this same spot. Then young Israel Meir had gazed at the stones of the wall without understanding what he was seeing. This time he was praying just 2 hours before his anticipated election to the highest rabbinical post in Israel. My younger brother, who had risen from the piles of ashes in the death camps, was chosen that day to serve as the chief rabbi of the state of Israel. I looked at him from up close and felt tears welling up in my eyes. As I left the wall, I felt profound relief, as if a heavy burden had been lifted from my shoulders and my conscience. At last, my almost impossible mission had been fulfilled, end quote. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.